This is the Seabed Daily Text. The secret life of Jesus versus the secret to the life of Jesus. Luke 6:12-19. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles: Simon, whom he named Peter, his brother Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon, who was called the Zealot, Judas, son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. He went down with them and stood on a level place. A large crowd of his disciples was there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem, and from the coastal region around Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by impure spirits were cured, and the people all tried to touch him because power was coming from him and healing them all. Consider this. There's a consistent feature in our daily texts so far on this journey that I've not pointed out yet. We see it again today. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. Let's go back to the day Jesus healed the man covered in leprosy. At the end of that passage, we read, "Yet the news about him spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed." Luke 5:15-16. Still earlier, after Jesus must have healed hundreds of people into the night at the home of Peter's mother-in-law, we see this. At daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. The people were looking for him, and when they came to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving them. Luke 4:42. For the longest time in my discipleship, I looked at texts like these from a very functional and even utilitarian perspective. I reasoned, if I spend adequate time with God, like Jesus did, my life and ministry will be powerful, like Jesus was. It turns the quiet time into the measure of one's faith. This makes prayer and solitude a means to an end. I think I considered it something akin to the secret to the life of Jesus. My present understanding, this is pure relationship, the context for the communication of divine love. Now it doesn't look like the secret to the life of Jesus, but rather the secret life of Jesus. Jesus invites us into this relationship and explicitly articulates what it is all about, as recorded in the following text, an excerpt from John chapter 15. "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you abide in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." Love is the means, and love is the end. This is not a secret technique Jesus is trying to teach us. He is revealing what a secret life with an unseen God looks like. Our discipleship must become far more about the end than about the means. The biblical text makes clear that the end is love. Only when we begin to understand the end to which this all proceeds can we hope to appropriate the means. The prayer. Father God, thank you for showing us what you are looking for in a relationship with a human being through the life of your Son. Lead me in this secret life with you so that my life might reveal your glory in public. In Jesus' name, amen. The question, what is the story of your secret life with God? What will the next chapter of that story look like? For The Awakening, I'm J.D. Walt.